Adventist Young Professionals presents the following breakout session as part of the 2025 Behold Convention. We hope you enjoy this session and the entire series of inspiring presentations.
When you disagree with someone else, making sure that you don't come out injured from that discussion. And also making sure that you make friends while you're having the discussion, even if it is something that you don't agree with. So I'm excited to really talk about this. We did this last session. We're going to repeat it again for those who were here. I mean, you will remember, but the last session, what we're going to repeat, just repeat after me. All right. So I know you just ate, but I know you could speak. Good relationships. If you could repeat that after me. Good relationships.
Good relationships.
Lead to happiness and success.
Lead to testing.
Bad ones. Lead to injury and misery. Okay, one more time. If you could do it at the same time as me, that's great. But if you can't, just follow after. Ready, set, good relationships lead to happiness and success. Bad ones lead to injury and misery. Got it? Got it? All right. So the all our sessions from this point forward, the next three, will be, that is our foundation. Why do we care about relationship? How do we communicate with, whether it is the opposite sex, the same sex, or even someone you might not like. So you were going to talk about all those things. In this session, it's called I'm Right, You're Wrong. Has anyone felt that way before? Let's be honest. Everyone should raise your hand. Like, I'm right, you're wrong. All right? So I'm right, you're wrong. It does not feel good if you're the other person listening to that. So we're going to talk about that. And also, we'll give like a 10-minute break in between so that if you want to check out another breakout, you're welcome to do so. We'll let you know. We'll pray it out. But at the end, we have question and answer. We, in our sessions, we usually say there are no questions off limits. All right? There are no questions off limits. We try to create a safe space. So if you like deep conversations, real questions, real talk, you're in the right place. So no questions off limits. So have those things in mind as we discuss. So these are some of the things that you could always find resources for when it comes to relationships. My wife has a website and a YouTube channel, and I have a company, marketing company there, in which for her, she has materials for single women, married women, so that they get to learn more about biblical marriages. And you could also get the free guide if you go to thefelicialee.com. What are you expecting? I want to ask maybe one person, if you don't mind telling me, like, what did you expect looking at the title or what from this session that you're coming into? Anyone willing to share that? What do you expect? Yes. How to be a better spouse. All right, that is a good high expectation. Good. All right, so I think my wife is going to... Did I forget anything?
No.
All right. You could go ahead and do the first part.
All right. Just a reminder, for our last presentation, we're switching it just a little bit, and it's going to be very specific on... romantic relationships, especially if you're single and preparing for marriage. So you'd want to not miss that session. For those of you who are on social media, what are some of the latest debates that you have noticed taking place on social media?
Political.
What, specify that a little bit more. Like, what are they discussing?
liberal Trump versus whoever, I don't know, everyone else.
Yep, political.
Yeah.
That's a really big one, common one. Anyone else? Abortion rights.
True.
That's good. So in this session, we are looking this particular track. We're looking at how to maintain platonic relationships. And one of the things we have to be honest about is that there are going to be differences of opinion. And it is so easy for us to put ourselves in a bubble with just people who think like us, believe like us, and everyone else is just them. And you block and delete, or you just don't interact with them. So we are looking at, is it possible for you to even have a relationship with coworkers or church members, with people who think so very differently with you? And when we are talking about things like politics or abortion, how can we have discussions like that without murdering somebody?
And especially also, you have to remember, even in your relationship, like romantic relationship, it's going to come up. Who's married here? Anyone married? Okay, we have one couple who are married. Like, how long you been married?
A year now.
I'm sure you guys gotten into conflicts before. All right, yeah. If you didn't, then it's coming. So yes, there will be disagreements, even in a lovely, you know, honeymoon phase of everything, right? So we have to learn how to really understand and interact so that you don't kill each other.
I love still debating. I was in the debate club through school,
no, thank you.
University, and when I got married, oh, this is just the perfect time for us to discuss passionately thoughts and ideas, especially when they are different. I am fueled by that. I want you to have a different thought. And I just feel like, you know, I just tell you why this is right, why this is right, why this is wrong, why this is wrong. And then for us to change thoughts or ideas. My husband is quite the opposite. Very
Please.
Quickly, especially during our devotions in the morning, unfortunately, you know, we would read a passage and then he's like, you know, I think the scripture is talking about this. And me,
she
actually,
starts
that's
like
not
attacking
what it's talking
me.
About. You know, the Hebrew word for this means this. And so actually what it's, that did not go over very well. And
Never.
So we had to learn, especially for myself, how do I, rather than making an idol out of being right and proving a thought, prioritize the relationship, but not at the sacrifice of truth. Is anyone familiar with this series on Jubilee? How do you guys like it? I see two people. Most of you are unfamiliar with
who's,
this.
Who's watched anything from Jubilee? Yeah, this. Okay, we have five hands, maybe six.
So this particular series surrounded, one thing that you notice is that very rarely, I don't even think it's ever happened, where people walk out of these debates saying, you know what? I have a changed mind. It seems as if for those on opposite sides, at the end of the discussion, they have dug their heels in even more. And you have to ask yourself, well, what was the point of that? Of course, there are the people in the comments who are watching and, you know, you have your different thoughts. But very rarely will you notice, especially in a public space, especially in a public debate, where someone will say, you know, I was wrong about that. Or I can see where you're coming from. And they sort of, you know, go on to the other side. There is a reason why clothing stores have changing rooms. If you were to give that obvious reason, what would it be? Why do we have changing rooms in clothing stores? Privacy. In order to take off something old and put on something new, it requires a level of nakedness and vulnerability and privacy. It would be very strange if you expected a person in the middle of the store to strip down and to try on a new clothes. Why then do we expect for people who have a different belief, if we were to think of it as clothing, that they would be willing openly, especially on social media, to suddenly change their thought and give into your idea? We have to learn, if we were to use the analogy of a clothing store, especially as God's people, to try to create an environment that is appropriate to allow a person and yourself to change thoughts or ideas. Are you following with me so far? Okay. When we look at persuasion, so our first point is, in topics where there is, and we're going to give you some practice sessions, by the way, in topics where you are, or in situations where you are confronted with a person who has a very different belief from yours, and you may have biblical truth, one of the first things you need to think about is the environment right for this person to change their minds? I want you to look at the topic of persuasion in relations to sexual intimacy. This is going to be a very interesting analogy, but follow with me.
We're adults, right? Okay. Just making sure.
So persuasion, I'm just going to read it as I have it here so I don't miss anything. And then I'm going to give opportunities later on for us to ask questions and clarify. Persuasion can be compared to sexual intimacy as both require the right condition for it to take place. However, many people, especially for us as believers, especially for Seventh-day Adventists, unfortunately, are guilty of what can be described, unfortunately and graphically, as mind rape. Attempting to persuade someone to change their beliefs without considering whether they actually want their minds to be changed, whether they want to hear another belief or thought. We don't consider if the environment is appropriate. Persuasion, especially on topics, sensitive topics like abortion, religion, sexuality, politics, can be intimate and a challenging process for the mind. It is crucial that we learn to be understanding and accommodating of this fact. If you would never consider bullying a person into being intimate with you, why do we use the same tactic to try to persuade other people? Have you seen how religious people, especially on YouTube, in the comment section, how we are, especially on social media? And somehow we think that that is going to change a person's mind. Did you prepare the person's mind to consider a new idea? Did you pray before even engaging with them in this conversation? Did you listen, genuinely listen to the other person's perspective? Do you understand why this individual believes what they believe? If your answer is no to these questions, the environment is not right. You're picking unripe fruit. The unripe fruit is you. And so one of the first things that we need to consider when we are interacting in relationships with people who have different thoughts is first to consider whether we have made this the appropriate environment for them to even be willing to hear a different perspective. The other thing is to understand where a person is coming from. And this is difficult, especially whether it's intimate relationships or with friendships. We think, if I try to understand the perspective of this individual, it may come across that I am agreeing with them. My mother-in-law, and we're going to share a little bit more of this story. I'm skipping a lot of the story so you could come back for the last session. But when I was interacting with her when we met for the first time, and she shared with me that I am not afraid to tell you what I thought about Black people. And, you know, she went on to say, and the
she
Lord
has like
changed.
She looks like me. My mom looks like me. Yeah. Just making sure.
The Lord has changed so much in our heart. But one of the things that has contributed to some of the animosity in the Asian, Korean culture, especially here in the U.S. and between Blacks, traces all the way back to the 1992 L.A. riots with Rodney King. Anyone remembers that? Do you know the community that was most affected economically by those riots? It was the Asian community, with all of the looting and all that stuff. And for a lot of the Asians, they're like, we had nothing to do with this. Why are we the ones to have suffered from this? She shared how she used to run a business and some of her most difficult clients were Black people who came in and how they responded. So from her perspective, everyone, Black people, are like the ones she interacted with. Now, when you understand where someone is coming from, it never excuses bad behavior. It doesn't excuse them or give them permission to continue to behave or think that way. However, it puts you in a better and more mature position to interact with them because now they are heard by you. Has anyone watched the film? It's a classic, Gone with the Wind. A long time ago.
Okay.
So Gone with the Wind is one of those canceled films. It is a very, I'm trying to figure out the best word to describe it, but it is a very interesting film. And one of the reasons why it was canceled is that it seems, the way that they phrase it is that it glorifies slavery and Jim Crow era. And so the film is from the perspective, I'm trying to remember much of it, is from the perspective of the South during the Civil War and the fall of the South. And as you're watching it, the main characters in the film who obviously living before the Civil War and how they view race and Black people and slavery and so forth, it is very interesting for you now to be experiencing sympathy at the challenges racist that they are going through, even though they are racist. But what I noticed in the film is that we are a hair's breadth away, the distance in the width of your hair, the distance between, that distance is how far you are from the person you strongly disagree with. If you think that the beliefs that you have those beliefs because innately you are more moral than the other person, we are forgetting that had we been in their situation, had we been walking in their shoes, we more than likely would have believed, acted, behaved in the same way that they do. It is God's grace and mercy when we have certain thoughts, but understanding someone who grows up, for example, in that era where all they see is all they know, and that's the world that they grow up in, and that is their belief, it helps us to, rather than jumping immediately into judgment and writing someone off, we have a more Christ-like spirit toward them and a compassion and to know how to present truth to them. Is this making sense so far?
Can I give an example of? So in Korea, growing up, you're taught how to wash your face. There's a specific way that you are supposed to wash them. And if you do it in any other way, you're not cleaning yourself properly. And the right way to wash it is you put both hands together, get the water, and you rub it like this. Now, when I married my wife, I thought this is how everyone washes their face. How she washed her face, one day I saw, was she would take one hand under the water and she would go like this. And I just looked at her. And I could not believe what is happening here. I said, babe, did you wash your face? Like, that's like, we call it in Korean, cat wash. Like, you're not really washing your face. You're still dirty. You have to wash it like this. And this was like an eye-opening moment for me. First of all, I judged her, yeah. I did not agree with her because she's like, well, this is how I wash my face. I still wash my face. But for me, in my mind, it's like, that is wrong. You shouldn't do that. But it made me realize that it wasn't about, at that point, it wasn't a moral issue. it was a disagreement. It was a, she had her way of that she was raised and taught and how to wash your face, and I did. And so we have to recognize sometimes the difference between a moral issue, a true morally issue, and then things that are not, and recognize that there are two different ways, and there, that's okay. And for me to understand her and accept that aspect of it. Do I still wash my face like this instead of like that? You bet you. That's how I do it. But it's okay if she doesn't.
So, in, for example, with some of the topics on the screen, if you were to ever find yourself in some of these debates, what we are asking for you to consider before you start sharing truth, which we still have a responsibility to do, is that to seek to understand the other person's perspective first. We all want to be heard. So questions like, how did you come to that conclusion? What led to that?
Pay attention to this because you're going to do this exercise. So whatever she's telling you right now, the questions, please either write them down or remember, because you're going to use it in a few minutes.
How long have you held that belief?
Can you start from the beginning again?
I'm going to put it up on the screen.
Oh, you are.
So
okay,
during the exercise, you'll see this.
You see it.
So how did you come to this conclusion? How long have you held this belief, or what led you to this thought? Have you ever felt judged for what you believe? And finally, are you open to considering a new thought? These are just a few examples of questions that you can ask to understand where someone is coming from. For me, I had to recognize that there was such an emphasis on being right and proving the point that it was at the risk of relationship. And when Christ came, he easily could have blasted everyone, including us, with the truth and just cut us down with truth. But there is this quote that says, love without truth is hypocrisy. So love without truth is hypocrisy, but truth without love is brutality. And Paul says it very clearly that when we speak truth, it ought to be done in love. It ought to be done with compassion and understanding the other person. What we also need to remember is how we respond. We need the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, because not everyone who disagrees with us, for example, everyone is not the same. You have some people who genuinely do not know. Based on how they grew up, based on their experience, this is the thought that they have, and they don't know anything else. That's one group of people. You have others who are ignorant as a result of a rebellious heart, where God describes how he has veiled the heart of the children of Israel as an act of judgment because they keep rebelling against him. So when someone has a veiled heart because they keep resisting the Holy Spirit, how you go about dealing with that individual is going to be different. Then you have those who have these thoughts and they're dealing with past hurt, past trauma, and are deeply wounded. Or you have people who are rebellious and divisive. The Bible also has ways that we address people like that. So in this particular case, we're looking at people who they're open to other ideas, or they simply do not know, and we're sharing with them. So the exercise that we're going to have you do, I'm going to give you three points to discuss. And I'm going to ask you to show a thumbs up or a thumbs down if you agree or disagree, and then ask you to find someone in the room who has the opposite hand signal. So if I say, for example, who believes that blue is God's favorite color? I'm just being random. If he put your thumb up and I put my thumb down, then we are going to partner up or form groups. And the aim is to seek to understand why the person believes what they believe. Your goal is to understand their beliefs. We're not trying to persuade or, you know, share all of that.
Tell them that they're wrong.
Or tell them that
they're
wrong.
All the facts and research you've done, no.
So is that clear, the activity that we're going to do now?
Is that clear?
All right.
Again, we're trying to fulfill this mission. sometimes to have better Adventist communicators. Like, we have to become super communicators, and that's what I got that from a book. But we don't, sadly, we as members, we're a little awkward and a little weird sometimes, and maybe hostile to other people. And I think we can be better. We can't be like Christ. And this is going to help you to do that. Talking with strangers about topics you don't agree with, and still being able to be like, you know, you're curious enough to understand why they believe what that way. And this will help your relationship outside of marriage and inside of marriage. So can we all stand?
And then I'm going to give you the prompt. We're probably just going to do two. We're going to spend about 5 minutes on this.
Okay. The first.
And so these are the questions that you are going to ask. You don't have to ask all of them. So we're going to give you a specific time. The prompt, this is if you agree, thumbs up. If you disagree, thumbs down. Gender roles are biblical.
And be honest with yourself. Don't look at everyone else.
Gender roles.
If you agree, thumbs up. If you disagree, thumbs down.
Biblical.
If you disagree, thumbs down. If you agree, thumbs up. Okay, you have it. Now find those who are opposite of you. Gender roles are biblical. Opposite. You could get with a group. It's okay. It doesn't have to be single person. Go find them. Find the opposite.
Okay, that's interesting. I think there are only two people.
We have two people.
Okay.
I think we have two people right in the middle.
For this one, what we're going to do, the young lady who has a thumb down, can you come forward, please? Yep.
We have more than one. This lady right here in the pink, too. Please come. More?
We're just for this exercise, because we have less people with thumbs down, and
please come.
Were you a thumbs up?
Who else is?
More so because it was broad.
Yeah, it is broad.
It is broad,
and it's general. So that's why we're just going to keep it at that, just for the sake of this exercise. And I need another thumbs up person to come up.
Thumbs up.
A thumbs up person.
Thumbs up. Go ahead, come up. Thumbs up if you're...
Okay, the rest of you can stay seated for now, for this activity.
So, the next one will be some...
I just need one, people. Just one of you. I'm just going to have her for this one, you. For this exercise. Wow. I'm going to have you practice.
On the spot.
Yes.
That's all right.
So you were a thumbs up?
Yeah.
She's a thumbs down, yes.
So based on what we were sharing just now, I'm going to just sort of put you guys on the spot to see how you would have this conversation.
All right.
So you believe that gender roles are not biblical?
You would have to project your voice.
Okay, so you believe that gender roles aren't biblical?
Yes, I do.
Okay, can you tell me more about your belief?
Okay, so I believe that God created man and woman to be par. One is not higher than the other, just like Ellen White. Okay. Just like Ellen White mentions, right? The woman was taken out of the side not to be trampled upon, but as his equal. So whatever we do should be equal. One isn't higher than the other.
And other than today, have you ever felt judged or been judged for this? For having this belief?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, it's not really a strong belief that I believe there are some aspects of it that... like a man is the leader, and women are supposed to respect their husbands and submit to one another, just like you would submit to God. So that I believe in. But I mean, if you go deeper and ask that, what are the gender roles that we are talking about, right? Is it washing dishes? Is it cleaning? Is it vacuuming? Is it cooking? Is it taking care of kids that people believe that it's just the woman who is supposed to stay and watch over the kids? So husbands are equally willing to... If I'm a woman and I say I need to have a break, I need to go out with my girlfriends or something like that, and then the man says, oh, why are you leaving your kids to go hang out, right? And make you feel bad trying to have some time for yourself, or make you feel worse, that you just need a break. And it's because you are a woman and you are supposed to take care of the kids and not the man.
Right.
Do you want to understand anything about
okay,
her?
Yeah. Tell me why you believe what you believe in.
So I feel that I do agree with you. I agree with you. You mentioned actually some gender roles that are biblical based, such as submission and leadership. So those would be some of the points that I would mention. And I agree with you also about the context that you gave. And so I do feel that I believe what I believe, one, because of how I've been taught based on the Bible. But I do also think that just like cultural conditioning or what I've observed in society.
Good job. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Really appreciate that.
It's okay. Yeah, we have to make it short because we don't have too much time. But one thing that I would suggest that wasn't on here is ask, like, what do you mean by that? Is a good question to clarify exactly what they're talking about. Because it seemed like she, the way she equates gender role was tied to, oh, you do the dishes and I do this, right? And we are equal as a male and female. And I don't think she disagreed with equal as male and female, but it was something else. So just clarifying question would be great.
Okay, we're going to do one more. We're sort of going to do it similar to what we just did right here. Thumbs up if you agree, thumbs down if you disagree. White supremacy is the biggest challenge facing the Black community today.
Say that again.
White supremacy is the biggest challenge facing the Black community today.
If you're thumbs up, go ahead, put it high. If you're thumbs down, there's no judgment. Don't look it around. You got to be confident in what you believe, and you can't change.
Can I have you? What's your name? Taj.
And then we have some downs too.
Mr. Photographer, can I have you? Bryce?
Bryce. Yes. Bryson. Go ahead. Yes, come. All right, who wants to ask first?
I could go first.
All right, we got the two froze. That's great.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
I don't think you realized that.
I did not.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't know.
Some similarities first, right? Similarities first.
Can I mention, with this, when we were talking about seeking to understand, we must genuinely, by the grace of God, cultivate a heart to truly want to understand where the other person is coming from. It can't be fabricated. If you don't want to understand where the other person is coming from, you ask these questions, it's going to come off that you are not being genuine, and you're going to come off very condescending. It's going to leak out. So we can't put understanding in your heart, but we can definitely pray and ask the Lord, please help me to develop a heart to want to understand the other side.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
All right. So the question was, the prompt was?
The prompt was, white supremacy is the biggest challenge facing the Black community today.
Okay.
And you are?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. You disagree.
I disagree. You agree?
I agree.
Okay. Can you tell me more about why you agree about the statement?
I think for me, the reason why I think it's one of the biggest challenges that we face today is because white supremacy is based on a very thorough and planned and organized power structure. And when that structure is very deeply entrenched in economics, political things, spiritual, even when it comes down to like medical history and business, scholastics, like it's very hard to break out of that system when it's something that's been so deeply entrenched in the history and it's so specifically like targeted against you. Like that as a Black person, we deal with that. Like we've been dealing with it for as long as we can remember. So yeah, it's definitely one. That's why I believe it's one of the biggest challenges for sure. Yeah.
All right.
You don't necessarily have to go point one point. You could, you know, adjust it however.
But go do your thing, yeah.
For me, the two things that I feel like I wouldn't ask in this situation is how long have you had this belief? I mean, you already answered that. But also, what led you to this belief? I feel like you also answered that already. Number four, I feel like I know the answer to this question, but have you ever felt judged for this belief?
Depends on who I'm with. So if I'm dealing with somebody who has very conservative beliefs, then yeah, for sure. Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty straightforward answer. Yeah.
Thank you. Did you want to?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So why do you believe the opposite? Or why do you disagree? I'm sorry. Yeah, for sure.
No, opposite is fine.
Okay.
It's honest. It is opposite.
I wouldn't say that it's like the biggest thing that's facing the Black community, because I mean, I noticed you said that it was one of the biggest, which I totally agree with that. I wouldn't say that it is the biggest, because for me, the largest problems are the ones that I can control. I can't control white supremacy. I can't control how other people view me, how they treat you, how other people treat me. But what I can control is how I carry myself, how I go into the world, how I view things. And sure, a lot of that is oppression and a lot of that is opposition, but those things are out of my control. I can strive to rise above that. And it is valid to try to rise above that and try to push against that. But at the same time, for me, I just think it's not the biggest issue because it's out of my control.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that.
To hear his response.
Yeah.
What were you talking about?
What has led you to believe that those things are out of your control?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I was waiting because I was wondering if you were going to actually make a comment instead of a question.
Oh, okay.
Because what happens normally in this situation, like in real situations, is that once he starts saying stuff that you don't agree with for real, you start to start answering in your mind and how to fight or say the opposite or prove that what you're saying is wrong. And so once that consumes you, you can't help but to now make a comment, be like, oh, you said this, but you know, this doesn't apply or does it?
Yeah.
But instead you went to the question, which was great.
Yeah.
I think you did a great job. So thank you guys.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. Normally, it's very difficult. This is a very difficult thing. I know they're trying to be cordial. The ladies, everyone trying to be cordial. Oh, yeah, I agree. But in real situation, you're not. Like, in your mind, whether you say this way or that way, it's like, no, that's not, that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, I don't believe that. And so you have to control yourself to still ask these questions and be curious and have the focus on them instead of how can I answer this to prove them wrong, right? So I think you guys did a great job. Thank you.
Yes. And the last thing that I want to point out, and we want to leave some space for your questions and your thoughts, and I saw a hand over there, is as followers of Jesus Christ, because we have a higher calling on our lives, whatever we do, we need to keep eternity in focus. When we are having a discussion with another person, the main point is not simply to be right. In Proverbs 11:30, it says, "He who wins souls is wise." There's a quote that says, "Any fool can win an argument, but it takes a wise person to win another person." And so in these discussions, you are thinking the other person is precious to the Lord, and the sword of truth that I may have, the Lord will hold me accountable if I wield this in such a way that it causes greater damage to the cause of Christ. Many of us, how we are responding and reacting on social media when we disagree are causing greater harm to the gospel and painting Christ in a particular picture, which is causing more people to turn away from the Lord. This is a responsibility that we have. When we are going into these kinds of discussions, we need to remember in 2 Corinthians where it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We are not simply wanting to use methods that come from, you know, like human knowledge and human thought. It must be guided by the Holy Spirit to go into these kinds of debates, not dressed in the armor of God. You have to ask yourself, what eternal impact does this have? So for us as Christians, this changes how we show up in our in these conversations. And we have to remember the goal at the end of the day is, how do I exemplify Christ to this individual? This person's soul is way more important than me proving my point. And when we have that urge to get defensive, we feel that we want to defend our point. Are you defending yourself, or are you zealous for the truth and for the word of God? There is so much more that I could say on that, but I want to leave it open for questions, thoughts, answers, queries,
yes,
and hand it over to Stephen. Okay.
They covered it. Great. Okay. Questions now. We have some time for questions. Do you guys have any questions about what we just discussed?
Or thought you want to expound on?
If you don't, that's okay. Yes. Go ahead, sis. Yeah.
But with the white supremacy problems, I think one thing that I find important too is...
Can you give her the mic?
Oh, yeah. One thing I think is important too is clarifying what like white supremacy means to you, because one person can be like, well, I believe like something about it, like they have this image of what this word means to them, right? And you could have a different view of that word, and so you could be arguing for something you agree with, but you think you're not, because you think it means the same thing to the other person. So I think that's an important step too, and the questions be like, okay, so before we even start, because I've been in discussions where we're halfway through and we're like, well, and then I say, well, this means this to me finally, and they're like, well, that's what I've been saying this whole time, and I'm like, well, it wasn't, you know, clearly. But I think that's an important step too, and I think before you start a discussion.
Thank you.
Yes,
you're right.
Thank you for bringing up that point again. And Stephen had mentioned that was one of the questions that should have been up here, is what do you mean by that? Because we have totally different meanings. Something else that helps, it is very difficult, but we can accomplish this by the grace of God, is rather than jumping to conclusions about the individual because of the thought that they have, give them the benefit of the doubt. Stephen and I don't remember how we got to the discussion, but we were talking about taking care of elderly parents. And Stephen mentioned to me, well, what about your brother? He can do that. And the thought that came to my mind is, how could you be so inconsiderate of my parents to just think that I wouldn't want to take care of them? And so I'm like, well, I'm still their daughter. I should care for them. And Stephen is like, well, your brother lives in Bahamas. That's where we're from. Your brother should take care of them. And so we got into this back and forth where I was feeling all of a sudden that he did not care for my parents, until we got to sort of simmering down and trying to understand where the other person was coming from. For him, do you want to explain that?
Yeah, as a Korean man, we are taught that the firstborn male is the one who takes care of their parents. So even though my wife is older, she's a female. And so her brother is the one should be taking care of her parents. And I am the male, first male of my family, and I should be taking care of my parents. So I didn't want to, I did feel bad telling her, like, you know, your family, your brother should take care of, because, you know, it's her family, not mine. But really, it came from that. But I couldn't understand why she wouldn't get it. Like, to me, it's such an obvious thing. But for her, it wasn't.
And for me, coming from a Haitian background, it's whoever's in the better financial position. It doesn't matter if you're son or daughter. You send money home. You support your parents.
Well, who's in America?
And so it was both of us needing to understand that, and then being careful of words like, oh, this is what you should do. This is what you should not do. So it took a lot of understanding culturally, and rather than coming to a judgment about who you are because you don't want to take care of my parents, or him coming to a judgment about who I am, giving the benefit of the doubt. And so what we need to remember is that at some point we all get into these very sticky discussions. And if we were to look at the method that Christ followed when he was interacting with people who had different beliefs, he was very straightforward with the Pharisees, and they needed that. That was the grace that he needed to show them. But he opened room for discussion and allowing them to be heard. And we can, by his grace, follow in the same footsteps as well. In our next session, we're going to look at friendships, how the eternal impact of our friendships, how we can go about making friends, and a different perspective that we can have that will change how we go about making friends. And then finally, we're going to talk about if you're single and in looking for marriage, what are some things to keep in mind?
All right. Let us pray this out so that those who want to go to check out another breakout session, you can. And then those who want to stay, you can stay as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for just revealing to us some of our lack and our need of your help. All of us, sometimes we think we got it all together. We think we know how to go through arguments. Oh, I won't be like most people, and I know how to listen and these things. But Lord, you know us, and there has been mistakes we've made, or we've never been bold enough to even share what we truly thought. We will just smile and nod a lot of times because we don't want to get into an argument. But help us to be wise. Help us to know how to stand for what we believe in, but yet at the same time be loving and gracious as Christ was to others, and truly be genuinely curious to other people's opinions and thoughts and their beliefs so that they may feel heard and that we would genuinely care for them. Again, continue to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this breakout session presented by Adventist Young Professionals as part of the 2025 Behold Convention. We invite you to explore the other sessions in this series and continue the journey with us.